I pray that the Lord might bless me this afternoon as I say a few words to encourage the youth of the church. A Brigham Young University student wrote the editor of the Daily Universe following President Oak's recent address to the students on standards and dress and on conduct. This young man wrote, "Why must we always tag along behind the rest of the world, trying to get as close as our religion will let us? A style of our own is not an empty phrase," he said. Today's teenagers live in a world not in a world far different from that experienced by their parents. Though the world is becoming more wicked, the youth of Christ's church can become more righteous if they understand who they are. If they understand the blessings available, understand the promises God has made to those who are righteous, who believe, and who endure. All of our youth are entitled to and need this knowledge to combat the forces of deception that would lead them captive into darkness. Peter, writing from Rome to the scattered saints, understood their trials and temptations to desert the faith and go back to their old ways. He encouraged the saints as he wrote, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth." Peter then adds a broader dimension with stirring words to help us to understand who we are when he wrote, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and as a chosen and peculiar people, ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." My, what a wonderful declaration of identity for our youth to ponder. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Recently, while attending a state conference and having the added blessing of meeting with the young people, some of whom had driven long hours, I learned that several of them were the only Latter-day Saints in their high schools. And when I asked, "You set the right example for the rest of the students, don't you?" they replied, "We really try." But as they said, "We really try," I could see the light of belief and conviction in those youthful faces. I could begin to understand what Peter meant by our being called out of the darkness into this marvelous light. Our youth, with all of their distractions, must realize that through their membership, they are very special, that the Lord is counting on them, that the prophecies might be fulfilled. You of a noble birthright are different from your friends who are not members of Christ's true church. You are a chosen generation. You live in the world, but you do not follow worldly trends or habits that are contrary to your own belief. May I remind you of only a few of the very special events in your life that cause you to be different. You have made some promises, and some eternal promises have been made to you. Many of you were born under the covenant, your parents having made a covenant with God. You can, if worthy, inherit thrones, kingdoms, principalities, and have exaltation and glory sealed upon your head forever and ever. Chances are your non-member friends wouldn't quite understand these terms. In today's world, they may sound rather strange. You have been baptized even by water and of the fire, and of fire and of the Holy Ghost, making your salvation possible if you endure and are faithful to the end. You partake of the sacrament at our meeting, symbolic of the torn flesh and spilled blood of our Savior, giving you an opportunity to renew your covenant to keep the Lord's commandments, that His Spirit may continue to be with you. It did with a young teenage girl in Scotland who told of being with non-member friends. She wanted to be part of the group and thought, "Surely one little drink wouldn't hurt. Why not?" Then she realized her celestial kingdom goal. After that, she said, the ridicule didn't matter. She had felt of his spirit and could feel of his influence at that incident. You are surrounded with temptation and wickedness, but you don't succumb to them. A Chinese scholar wrote, "A gem cannot be polished without friction, nor man perfected without trials." You young men have received the priesthood of God with the authority to perform special ordinances in his name, his right delegated to you to be his fully qualified servant with power to bind on earth and in heaven, to administer spiritual things. Just this week, we received a letter from a mother telling of her Navy son, now stationed on a small island 1,200 miles south of India, out in the Indian Ocean. It has only the military base and a small coconut plantation. This young man has located 6 other LDS boys, and they are now holding regular church services. He wrote his mother telling of his opportunity now to prepare lessons for their priesthood meetings. Young men on a tiny speck of land in a vast ocean, recognizing and using their priesthood authority. They are different. The Lord said, "For whoso is faithful unto the obtaining these 2 priesthoods of which I have spoken, and the magnifying their calling, are sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing of their bodies." Such an experience these young men are having. You can, if you qualify, go to the temple with your sweetheart, the one you dearly love, to be married in a manner prescribed by the Lord, to continue forever as husband and wife in the celestial kingdom of God. And if you live worthily, to gain eternal life, the greatest of all of God's gifts to men. At times, I wonder if you really comprehend the far-reaching eternal significance of temple marriage. If you really understood, you would never settle for less. Marriage is a divine ordinance, not to be by a justice of the peace or to be taken lightly, but ordained of God and to man. And you can, if worthy, even perform miracles, which makes you different from the rest of your friends, to heal the sick, to cure all manner of disease. Healings are among the signs that follow true believers. Faithful young elders have this power. These are only a few of the eternal principles that distinguish you from the materialistic style being developed by worldly men today. As you place the weight of your influence on the side of good, on the side of truth and beauty, your life will achieve an endless splendor, nobler than you might imagine. Paul, writing to his beloved Timothy and realizing the pressure Timothy was experiencing, said, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Some of you attend schools where there are but a few members of the church, others where we are a majority. But if you conduct yourselves properly and develop your personality along church standards, your candle will be high on a hill and will burn brightly for all to see. Dare to think for yourself. Have the strength of character to act the way you know to be right. Debbie Brown, the only Mormon in her Roanoke, Virginia high school senior class, said, "It is so important for us to live the standards of the church. Most people who know anything about our church know that it maintains the highest moral principles. There is never a need to apologize," she said. "We are so lucky to have the true gospel. By making the church standards our standards, we can share this gospel with others." Then she continued, "A good friend, not a member of our church, invited me to a party celebrating our victorious football season. He was a popular football player. I was hesitant. He knew I was a Mormon. My hesitation must have been evident. He quickly added, 'There will be no drinking allowed.' People know our standards," she went on to say, "and respect us for them. To be different from the crowd is a privilege." Now, to our young friends, you may feel at times that the Lord's commandments restrict your freedom as compared with others. Freedom does not mean license, nor does it imply the absence of all restrictions and discipline. The Savior did not teach undisciplined, permissive-type freedom when he said, "Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He is telling us that his truth, if followed, would free us from falsity, from deception, that his gospel, if followed, would free you to gain eternal life. As the light of the gospel fills our soul, your abilities will increase. You will love your neighbors and be of sincere service in helping others. We have a young military chaplain, a former missionary, who is happily married, who lives the gospel and lives as he should. His superior officer at his first duty assignment was so impressed with his spirit that he wrote, "I want you to know how much we chaplains and the thousands of men have appreciated his presence. To describe him like a breath of fresh, clean air would be poetic and not intended to demean the other chaplains who labor at our large base. He has a special charisma that radiates love." The officer then went on to say, "We have benefited in many ways from this young chaplain. We not only admire him, but we have renewed our own enthusiasm. Thousands have derived great spiritual and social benefit from his services. I testify to our noble youth, who will be the future leaders of our society and the church, that you are different. You need not look just like the world. You need not entertain like the world. Your personal habits should be different. Your recreation will be different. Your concern for your family will be vastly different. If you establish this distinctiveness firmly in your life pattern, only blessings await you for doing what is right. It is written, if you speak and act with pure thoughts, happiness will follow like a shadow." Remember, my young friends, that Christ is the only one through whom we can reach the divine destiny. You and I must believe in him. Believe that his church was founded and established upon divine revelation. That we have presiding over his church a true and living prophet through whom revelation is received for the world today. For all of his people, today, now, 1973. President Harold B. Lee sits here with us now. We have heard his voice, listened to his counsel and wisdom, knowing we will never be led astray, but only encouraged by him to live as we should, to obey God's commandments down to the last day. A former president of the church counseled the saints, "Keep your eye on the president of this church. If he tells you to do anything and it is wrong and you do it, the Lord will bless you for it. But you don't need to worry. The Lord will never let his mouthpiece lead this people astray." President Lee recently, in a most moving address to the Brigham Young University student body, said, "The measure of your true conviction is whether or not you see the power of God resting on the leaders of this church, and that testimony goes down into your heart like fire." May these words of his have a deep impact on all, but especially on you, our youth. The world may not comprehend what he said, but you can. You are different. You are in a chosen generation. May you see the power of God resting on him as our prophet. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.